Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That 10-year-old girl. And a postscript to that particular little snippet was that it, with social media, it went viral. And the presenter, the Egyptian presenter, said that it was posted on something like 1 million, you know, websites, including Muslim websites. And I thought, you know, we see, how do we change the world? You know, the Americans bomb, you know, this camp and this one, and let's kill all the ISIS members. And there you have a 10-year-old child saying, you know, God loves ISIS and she doesn't hate ISIS, after they have, you know, she's been driven from her home. And I thought, what remarkable parents that she also had, because she is 10. So she's obviously a child, a special child of God, but she has been brought up as a special child of God, so that when they had to flee from their home, the parents weren't grumbling and saying, oh, how terrible this is, you know, these terrible ISIS. They were saying, thank God, God has saved us. And that's what this child has picked up. And I think that it's very important that we try and be the same with the people, and particularly the young people around us, because how do we respond to negative things that happen? Do we complain? Do we scapegoat, you know, blame the, even if it's just blaming the government? Or do we say, God is in this? You know, and we believe in God like this child does, you know, that. And so she was not, she's not destroyed, is she, by being in a refugee camp, because she is full of love of God, you know, and love of family, and she's got no hatred, you know, in her heart. And I think that what it says, the greatest of these is love, because, you know, healings and prophecies, these things will pass because they are for a moment. But the choices that we make as people, the little choices in our life, they're the things that mean, are we people of love? You know, and that is something that shines out of us. And it's not about being a nice person. You know, because none of us really are nice people. I mean, some people might be nicer, but I know myself that in myself, I'm just self-centered. And it's whether I, am I listening to that self-centered voice or the voice of love? And this is where we need the help of God, and why things like prayer and things like this, and going to Mass and going to confession, are so important, because they help to strengthen the power of the Spirit in us to make those choices of love rather than those choices of self. I mean, I remember, I can't remember, some months ago, I came back from work, you know, and I was really tired and I had a lot on my plate, and there was a message on my answer phone from someone I'd known some years ago, who always had a lot of problems, you know, and she'd moved back to the country she came from, and she was, can you ring me? And I'm like, oh, I just don't have the energy to ring this person, you know. So I put it on, you know, you've got the three options, you know, one for listen, three for delete, two for save, you know, and I thought, I'll put it on save, you know. So, but, and sometimes when I do that, I put it on save and then I kind of forget about it. But, so I put it on save, and I was feeling really irritated with this girl. How come she got my number, and what was I, anyway. And then I think I hadn't prayed that morning anyway, so I went and did my prayer time. And as I prayed, God changed my heart. And it wasn't that, you know, and I then wanted to call her. and, you know, listen to her, because God had made me, instead of seeing her as a problem, you know, in my life, I realized God was wanting to minister to her, you know, through me, and that that was a blessing for me, you know. And so when I spoke to her later on, I think it probably was a couple of days later, actually, to be honest, but I was in a different place. And God was giving me the opportunity with this person in need to, you know, feel love. And I think, or to not feel love, to express love, because it is this choice. And sometimes it can be a journey. I know there was there's a situation in our parish, and there's a mother and daughter, and the daughter has got a very, very strange illness where she can't go out in the light. So they're kind of entombed in their house. And it had come to my attention, and I didn't really want to go, because I didn't really know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, you know, except share their suffering? And I would have to say, I didn't really go out of love. I went out of, I suppose, duty. And because I felt someone from the parish should probably go, because otherwise they'd go around saying no one in the parish cares. So it was more about, I went out of reputation, you know. But what is, I always find interesting, is that if it is something that God wants, your motives for beginning to do something might not be very good. But if you start and you're obedient, because it is objectively the right thing to do, by walking in it, God starts changing you. And so I kind of have been going to visit them now for probably about 2 or 3 years. And it's got easier as time has gone on. And I guess I have learned to, I don't know, it's become different. I now quite enjoy going to visit them. You know, because instead of them being a problem case, shall we say, which I have built a proper relationship with them. And in fact, I really admire them. I'm just amazed that they can even cope in the situation that they're in. And God has really taught me through them, but it isn't something that I have chosen. And I can see how my heart has kind of changed and benefited, because I'm, by nature, I'm not a terribly loving person who, you know, some people are naturally compassionate and they're always rushing to help, and I'm more like the dutiful person who does the right thing but doesn't have this kind of warm heart. But God takes me into these situations to help me for my hard heart to become softened by sharing in the suffering of others and seeing, you know, how wonderful people are. And I know you might have heard this story before, but some years ago I was in Hong Kong. Sounds like I'm a jet set traveler. I'm not really, but I was in Hong Kong at Jackie Pullinger's place, who works with drug addicts. And we went, I was just there for a week as a kind of journalist, really. And we went to one of them, they have a prayer meeting for heroin addicts. And they were going to pick up a guy who was coming, who wanted to go through their drug rehab program. And so I went along with them. And we arrived, and I was a bit nervous anyway, what do you do at a prayer meeting for heroin addicts? But anyway, they just said, you just pray with people. That's what they want. Anyway, this guy said, my name is Peter. And he was the guy we'd come to pick up. And he could speak a bit of English. He said, my name's Peter, and I have betrayed the Lord 3 times. And what he meant was 3 times that he'd gone through the program, and 3 times he was back on the streets. And it was really weird, because as he said that, instead of me kind of being my usual judgmental self, like, oh, well, you should shape up, you know, I was overwhelmed with love for this heroin addict that I've never met before. And I'm like, wow, where did that come from? And I was like, no, it doesn't matter. I just wanted to hug him and say, it doesn't matter what you've done. You know, God loves you so much and you've come to the right place to be healed. And God gave me a bit of an insight of the great love and compassion that he has for every one of us. Now, I myself haven't had that feeling of, you know, that God has that for me. Do you know what I mean? In myself, you know, despite all the good things I do. And through ministering, you know, to this poor person who really needed to experience the love of God, by me being alongside that person, I got to experience this massive consolation of God's love. And I knew if God loved him that much, he also loved me that much. And the difficulty is, you see, if you're sort of good and moral and you do the right thing, you can kind of feel you deserve God's love. You know what I mean? And then you kind of judge other people who are not up to the mark. And it means you never fully experience the love of God yourself, because you're constantly trying to earn God's love. You know, and I remember when I was a child, I'm an oldest child, and I think it often happens with oldest children, you know. I always felt, I was slightly resentful of my younger brothers and sisters who were, like, naughty, because I felt like I didn't dare be naughty, because if I was naughty, my parents wouldn't love me. And I did know they loved me, but I felt they loved me because I was good, not for myself. And that made me resentful. Why did they love my brothers and sisters who were not good? But I didn't dare test it to see, if I'm naughty, will they still love me? And I think that the relationship we have with our parents can be, that can go over to God, and we can think that God's love for us is conditional and we have to be good for God to love us. But, you know, as Jesus died, he died for each one of us while we were still sinners, and he just loves us to pieces. And this is the good news of the gospel that we have to share with others. And so we, you know, we have it's a sort of sense of to grow in love. It really is also to grow in self-awareness ourselves, to realize it's okay to be a Pharisee. It's okay, you know, to be the way we are. It's like St. Paul. It's okay to be like that. But as long as we know that that's not the right way to be, and that we can change, that in the same way St. Paul changed, you know, and he was able to go from a man of faith to a man of love, that whatever we're like, even if we're bad at loving, we don't have to love ourselves. We just have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I want to love. And I know as a Christian I'm supposed to love, but I can't. So unless you help me, I won't be able to do it. And I do know from experience, every time I have said that about a particular situation, God has helped me to love the person. I know there was a guy, when I first came back from Panama, there was a guy in our parish. And he was the sort of sacristan guy. Anyway, he just gave me the creeps, you know. He just would encroach my space, you know, he would, like, stand really close. And I was like, ooh. and his wife died. And I remember thinking, oh, I should really be nice and, like, invite him round. But I'm like, he gives me the creeps, you know, I don't want to. And I kept on trying, and then I just wouldn't be able to do it. And I was like, Lord, you know, please, please help me. You know, I want to be, it must be terrible. I want to do the right thing. But unless you help me, I can't do it. And what was fascinating was, over the next couple of weeks, one, I found out he actually had a few mental health issues. So the way he stood was not because he was being lecherous. It was, you know, he didn't quite understand where you were supposed to stand. And God just somehow changed it. And I was able, in a very natural way, me and a friend of mine, we ended up actually going to his house and having, like, tea or something. And it was just really, it was fine. It was just, like, perfectly normal. And I was like, I wonder why I ever had a problem. But God had changed me. And I remember it was like shortly afterwards he died. And I remember thinking, gosh, it would have been so awful if I hadn't, admitted the truth, instead of just saying, oh, well, he's a so-and-so, you know what I mean, whatever, because sometimes you justify yourself for your actions instead of admitting that you're a sinner and you're weak, you know. But we could, you know, we just come with our weakness and say, look, this is me, Lord. I don't want to be like that. So, you know, you can please change me. And the other one, which was amazing, was this nun that in the first prayer group I was in. And she was kind of a bit of a bossy nun. And I found her quite difficult because I felt she wasn't doing it properly. Me being bossy, I suppose. And anyway, I had a friend coming to stay with me, and I was complaining to him about this nun and saying, oh, she's terrible. She never shares. She's never vulnerable, you know. And so anyway, he came along to the prayer meeting, and I said, well, what did you think about her? And he went, well, I thought what she said was fine, but I noticed you had a problem, Christina. And I was like, what do you mean? Well, when she was talking, I noticed you were looking for the next hymn. And I was like, well, yeah. And he said, do you love her? And I'm like, of course I love her. He said, well, it didn't look like it. I'm like, well, you don't understand. I mean, she's really difficult. Anyway, she and I were sort of like the leaders of the prayer group, and she came round to my flat, and this friend of mine, Orlando, I was in the kitchen making coffee, and Orlando was in the other room. Now, he had, like, he'd never met her before, you know, just kind of, I was out of the room for about 5 minutes, and when I came back, the nun was telling my friend Orlando how she'd almost had a crisis in her vocation as a religious sister and almost left the order, but she felt she had to stay because they needed her salary. And I'm like, I've known her a year. She's never told me anything like that. You've been in the room with her for 5 minutes and she shared this massive thing with you. And I realized, why had that happened? Because he looked at her with love, and I looked at her with judgment, and she picked that up. And it's the same with other people in our lives. If we look at them with judgment, you know, they're not behaving the way they should or doing, they pick that up, and we are acting as a block, you know, we're blocking God's love from coming through us. And at this time when the church is really in a really difficult situation and we're not in a Christian culture, it's really important that every single one of us is another Christ. We can't just coast along and saying, oh, well, we're part of the Christian community, because that's not going to hack it, you know. We're going into difficult times, and we've all got to step up to the mark. And it's not like try harder, be better, but just to say surrender. We all have to surrender more and just admit that we're not doing it, we can't do it, and say, God, please help us, transform us, make us different, so we can be people of love. Amen. Amen.